This is The Takeaway. I'm Nancy Solomon, a reporter in the WNYC newsroom, in for Tanzina Vega all week.
This year is on track to be what LGBTQ advocates say is the worst year in terms of bills filed against LGBTQ people.
That was Kate Sawson, a reporter for The 19th, speaking on The Takeaway at the beginning of March. And in the weeks since that interview, multiple states have taken steps to limit the rights of their transgender residents, particularly trans youth. Earlier this week, the Arkansas State Legislature overrode a veto by Republican Governor Asa Hutchinson on House Bill 1570. The bill makes Arkansas the first state in the nation to criminalize gender-affirming procedures for transgender minors.
I wanted to express my own personal view that this is too extreme, it was too broad.
Following the final passage of the bill, Governor Hutchinson explained his veto on NPR.
It did not grandfather in those young people who are currently under hormone treatment. And so this really puts a very vulnerable population in a more difficult position. It sends a wrong signal to them.
The bill is one of more than 90 anti-transgender rights bills that have been put forward by Republicans in state legislatures this year. And health care for trans youth is one of the issues at the center of a number of these laws. Many others prohibit trans children from playing on sports teams that align with their gender identities. Governor Hutchinson himself signed off on an anti-trans sports bill last month. Now LGBTQ advocates are turning to legal challenges and increased pressure on business leaders to push back on this wave of legislation. But in the meantime, trans youth in these states are being left in an increasingly vulnerable position. Here with me now is Evelyn Rio Stafford, Justice of the Peace for District 12 in Washington County, Arkansas. She's also the only openly transgender elected official in the state of Arkansas. Evelyn, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And also with us is Sasha Bookert, Senior Attorney for Lambda Legal in Washington, D.C. Sasha, great to have you with us as well.
Thanks, Nancy. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, Evelyn, let's start with you. You met with Governor Hutchinson prior to his veto of HB 1570. How did that meeting come about, and what did you talk with him about?
Yeah, when I started the week last week, I really didn't expect to be meeting with the governor, but it was set up by one of our local state legislators here in Northwest Arkansas, Nicole Clowney, set it up because she felt that the governor, before he made a decision, should hear from the actual voices of trans people, because in the debate leading up to the bill, the voices of trans people and their families had really been sidelined in the whole debate. And so his office agreed to a meeting. But I also knew I'm 48. I'm not a trans youth. I was in high school 30 years ago. So I talked my way into bringing a young trans person with me. Her name's Willow Brashears. She is 18 years old, and she went through, came out as at 13 and went through the very process that this bill now bans.
Well, it must have felt incredibly good to have that kind of access to the governor, and then he actually vetoed the bill. So that must have been wonderful, but he hasn't been exactly reliable on trans issues, has he?
No, he hasn't. And we talked about that a little bit in the meeting. You know, one of the things that I really have to give him credit for is, you know, he wasn't trying to rush us out of the room or anything. He scheduled a 30-minute meeting, which was longer than we were expecting. And we actually went 10 minutes over because he had so many questions. I could tell in the meeting that this wasn't a topic that he was very familiar with at all. But he was, I feel that he was taking an honest effort, you know, to educate himself about, you know, trans issues. Some of his questions were very specific medical questions that I don't have the medical background to be able to answer. But we did talk about some of the other bills he signed because he asked at one point in the meeting, how the trans community is reacting to all this, because I think he started to see the pattern now that this legislature has been sending bill after bill after bill. There's even more bills on the way. I think there's 9 in all. And he didn't back down from signing the bills, but he did take my criticism of them into consideration. And I think, you know, I told him, for example, with the sports bill that I knew that, you know, the proponents of it were arguing that it was about fairness in sports. And what I told the governor, I said, if that's the case, why did that bill cover kindergartners? Because between kindergarten and puberty, for example, there really is no athletic difference between boys and girls. So to me, that kind of put the lie to what that bill was all about.
And what were the two of you able to tell him about the way that this bill is going, what impact it's going to have on trans youth in particular in Arkansas?
Yeah. You know, I think the governor learned that some of the talking points that the proponents of this bill have been putting forward are really distortions of what's actually happening. You know, they're fear-mongering that people are performing surgeries on young children and things like that. And that's really not happening in any way, shape, or form, and never would happen. You know, in fact, there are no surgeons who do anything like that in Arkansas. And, you know, I guess he fact-checked that and found that to be true, because he talked about that in his news conference. I think it was gratifying that he actually listened, because we found that when people actually listen to the real stories of trans people, you know, and you sit down with one of these young people, they're not a talking point anymore. They're a real living, breathing human being, you know, with a real story, and you can really start to understand the situation. And I think that's some of what happened.
I'm reminded, I can't help but be reminded of Harvey Milk, and who said, you know, in the 1970s, if gay people started coming out to the people they knew, life would change. And this is now the next iteration of that. That's really terrific to hear. So let's zoom out to the rest of the country now, Sasha. How does this latest anti-trans bill out of Arkansas compare to what we're seeing in other states?
Yeah, thanks, Nancy. Yeah, first I want to just thank Evelyn and all and the families in Arkansas that have been doing this amazing work, you know, to humanize trans people. There's such a need to humanize that we're human beings, and that, you know, we have, you know, we want to participate in our school systems, and we should be able to receive the same kind of care that other people receive. But yeah, this is, and we were paying attention obviously to the bills that have passed, but I think it's really, really important to remember that a lot of these bills are not passing thanks to the tireless advocacy of folks, you know, in the states. And yeah, unfortunately, you know, this is a year we've seen more and more anti-trans bills being introduced across state legislatures across the country. And there's a tremendous amount of work being done to defeat them. And most of them are being defeated. But it's just a very, very concerning moment for our community, for sure.
And when conservative governors like Governor Hutchinson veto some of these laws, what's driving those decisions? I mean, where are activists having success with some of these conservative Republican governors around the country?
Yeah, you know, I think, first of all, repeating what I just said, I think it's really important to underscore the importance of the work being done on the state level from people like Evelyn and the families there that are doing that work, and talking with the governor's office and having those person-to-person conversations. It's so important. I think another aspect of this is the law, you know, and it's really important to, you know, highlight a couple of things about this bill specifically, you know, that, you know, it's completely inconsistent with medicine first, the American Academy of Pediatrics, which is, you know, an organization of 67,000 pediatricians, you know, support this care for trans youth. As well as the Endocrine Society and so many other healthcare organizations. In fact, there's 18 states now that prohibit the kinds of exclusions that they want to implement. So it's completely inconsistent with actual science and medicine. You know, it's stigma and not science. But it's also violates the law. You know, you can't treat transgender people differently. These same treatments are provided for non-transgender people. And this clearly provides, you know, unequal protection. So I think that, you know, the governors that are vetoing this are firstly doing it because of their concern about the community, our community, after being, you know, after the humanization process. But I also think that, you know, they are concerned about litigation, and they should be, absolutely, because this completely violates medicine and law. And I will say that, you know, they are rightfully should be concerned about the impact, you know, that this is going to have with their business relationships. We've seen this, you know, in the past with HB2 in North Carolina, you know, when PayPal pulled out of the state because of the anti-trans bill there. And, you know, I think that, and that's right, you know, that, you know, A, there's a lot of LGBTQ people that work at these companies, but, you know, we're also, you know, consumers and have close business relationships. So I think that they should be deeply concerned about, you know, what's going to happen. I would love to see, you know, some response to the legislation, the anti-slate of hate being introduced in Arkansas, specifically from Walmart, you know, and other companies that do business there, because this is going to cause serious harm. You know, we'll litigate this and we'll prevail, but it's going to cause serious harm to trans youth and trans people in the interim, you know, while this moves through the courts. And it's just deeply concerning and reprehensible that, you know, they would focus on this issue when Arkansas and so many other states that are introducing these bills are almost last in the nation with regard to, you know, the healthcare they provide to their citizens and the economic well-being and other disparities.
Evelyn, what have been some of the responses from the business community so far there?
You know, definitely some folks have started putting out, when the governor put out his veto, you know, there was a statement put out by Tom Walton of the Walton Family Foundation, you know, who's part of the Walton family, urging the governor to sustain the veto. We heard from the Northwest Arkansas Council basically saying the same thing. We've heard from Experience Fayetteville, which is focused on tourism in this area. Saying how bad this was going to be. So I think there is the consensus that this legislature is a little out of control with this and other issues as well. That's going to be bad for Arkansas in terms of business recruitment and tourism.
So Sasha, give us a sense of what are some of the legal challenges that you folks are mounting about against this legislation?
Well, you know, a similar bill was passed, an athletics bill, you know, a bill that would prohibit trans girls from participating in sports, K through 12 sports, was passed in the middle of the pandemic last June in Idaho. And it's not our case. The ACLU is litigating that in Idaho. And they were able to secure a preliminary injunction preventing that law from going into effect. And I thought, you know, the decision, if you take a minute to read it, it was really powerful in some ways, in that it clarified that this isn't about, you know, trans girls are girls, and, you know, they're not going to participate on a boys team, and, you know, barring them from playing sports and bonding with their peers and learning all those really important things you learn in athletics robs them of the ability to participate altogether. So, you know, that's one important case that, you know, is being appealed to the Ninth Circuit. And there's also a case that was brought in Connecticut, not in response to an anti-trans bill, but a bill trying to prohibit trans athletes from participating. And that's still moving its way through. You know, we haven't seen challenges filed in response to the bills that have been passed now. There's, you know, a bill that was passed in Tennessee as well. Or Arkansas, you know, or Mississippi, but, you know, it's very likely, you know, that, you know, we'll see litigation soon, you know, on a variety of different legal causes of action, you know, that are going to be determined soon. But it's just unfortunate. Again, I just want to underscore, you know, the harm that this is going to cause in the interim. You know, trans students and trans kids face extremely high rates of bullying and abuse. There was a study done just a couple of years ago that showed that over 80% of trans kids experience bullying. And, you know, we just, every time there's a bill introduced, you know, or this kind of activity in the media, we see the calls spike, you know, with the Trans Lifeline. And that's just as, you know, deeply concerning, the impact this is going to have on youth. The litigation is preparing to move forward in many different places, and we stand ready to step. We'll continue to protect trans students and trans people generally.
It's really striking that even the political fight over these issues has negative impact. The Supreme Court is a lot more conservative, of course, with the three Trump appointments and the 200 new appointments to the federal bench. So how might this affect whether you're able to get federal courts to strike down these anti-trans laws?
Yeah, that's a really great question. You know, we've opposed so many of the Trump administration's judicial nominees over the last 4 years because, you know, they clearly had an idea. We're clearly ideologically driven, you know, to the far right. And so many of them, you know, had made, you know, statements about trans people specifically in the past that, you know, the courts have been stacked, and so, you know, especially the circuit courts with a lot of these folks, especially the Fifth Circuit, you know, so we have to be judicious about, you know, where we bring claims and how we bring claims for sure. And that's part of why we're, you know, pleased to see the Biden-Harris administration move so quickly to begin the nomination process of fair-minded constitutionalists that are going to provide impartial justice under the law. But that is deeply concerning for sure. And that's definitely on the top of our minds when we're thinking about moving forward with these challenges.
Evelyn, we were, you know, just listening to Sasha talk about the impact, that the negative impact that even the debate can have on trans folks and particularly young ones. So, I mean, have you heard from people in Arkansas who are considering leaving the state because of what's going on with these laws?
Unfortunately, I have. You know, because of, the profile that I have as being the only openly trans elected official in the state, even though I'm a local official, I have started hearing from trans people and from families of trans youth, especially, who are really worried about all this. They don't really know what they're going to do. As we heard at the beginning, there's nothing in this law that grandfathers them in. So the care that their children are receiving now, you know, is going to be cut off if there's no legal challenge. And so they're in a very difficult situation. You know, as you heard from Sasha, young people, we've already heard, face bullying. You know, we heard from Willow who spoke to the governor about her battle over being able to use the correct restroom in her Arkansas public school. They're facing issues with access to competent healthcare. In some cases, people live in rural areas. It's a pretty rural state. And now the legislature is piling another burden on top of all of that. They're forcing these families now to, in some cases, you know, decide whether to join a legal battle on top of everything else they're facing. And it's not fair to them. It's totally wrong. You know, and we know that, as with everything else, this is going to affect trans people of color more profoundly, because they're already in a more vulnerable situation to begin with. Here in Arkansas, we've had the murders of two young trans people of color just in the last year. One of them was 17 years old. So we know that there's folks are already facing a variety of issues. And this just makes it even worse. So I have heard from people who are wondering whether they are still welcome here in Arkansas because of this string of bills.
Evelyn Rios Stafford is the Justice of the Peace for District 12 in Washington County, Arkansas. Evelyn, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Sasha Bookert is a senior attorney for Lambda Legal. Thanks, Sasha.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.